have to bear with me. God has really shown me something funny with regarding Michael. So like 2 Timothy 1:7. I was reading a book about, it's called No Drama Discipline, and it's about how we, and I didn't realise that even the word discipline comes from teach. Like, I thought, you know, the negative connotation is put on discipline because we think it's a harsh thing. But actually, the original wording of the word discipline comes from teaching, which really blew my mind. So I started to really listen to, you know, kind of really read into the book. Anyway, and I was talking about this thing about in their first few years, and people might, probably a lot of you might know this better than me, about the science of the brain. The first few years of their life, they're in pure emotion. Children just live in pure kind of a place of just their logic and their moral thinking and their ethical thinking isn't developed yet in the front of the brain. They work from the very much the lower of the brain, and this is developing over the, actually till we're like just above 20. And it's called neuroplasticity, where our brain changes and the synapses of our neurons that we do repeatedly changes, makes habits and things. So I was learning about this, and then it said about how when a child has a meltdown or is screaming, they're actually, it's the worst time to try and teach them because they're not receiving. They're in this part of the brain, the lower part of the brain, which would be called more the more animalistic part of the brain. And I started reading some more. And then it came up with this thing about fear and how fight, flight or freeze, when we get into that part of the brain, it's our instinctive part of the brain to act quickly. So we actually lose sometimes a lot of our logic and just do what our body instinctively does. And I started to think about, and how, it was basically talking about how you get from fear back into that upper part of the brain, back to your logical thinking. So I found out then, if I flashed a card, an image at you, Steve, say there's a fear that you have, and I went like that and I flashed it at you, even if you didn't register the image itself, your subconscious would register it. And your umlungada, I think it's called, it's the very core of the, right at the back of the brain, kicks in. And your brain in the subconscious kicks into fight, flight, or freeze. And that's what made me think. And it was talking about this thing about, in the book, it talked about connect and redirect. Bear with me, like I stand on the word of God, I'm not going to preach on this book. I just want to let you know that this is, but it's what inspired me into the scripture. And it started to make me think about fear and how, to get from fear back into our place of sound mind, of logical thinking, of, you know, our morale and our choices. And it said part of actually for a child or for anyone actually, the adult, is to name that fear or name the process you're going through, even in mentally or emotionally or physically or verbally. It then starts to bring you back from this place of tension in here to the front. And then I started thinking about what does that mean for us as adults? And it also talks later on about how you connect and redirect. So while you're teaching a child, you connect with them first. And again, different parent, like every book, there's millions of parenting books out there, and this is one that I'll probably read of many. But I had this really interesting of connecting with the child, getting them feel safe, and then redirect. And it made me think about that's what God does with us. How many times have we been in messes in our lives, and how many times are we like not sure what to do? And God just says, be still. And you just get back into that relationship with the Lord. And then he redirects us. Then he teaches us. Because while we're flaying around in our circumstances, we're not listening. And we're actually not engaged. But when we're sat in prayer, in our circumstances, calmly, then it's God's relationship and love. And it really made me think about how the Father God speaks to us in times of fear. So then it led me to many scriptures, which... really funny enough, this is totally God. It was on my iPad and I thought it would sync to my phone. It has not. So this is going to be completely from my memory. The acting brain will hopefully kick in and I'll remember my lines. And it basically was these few scriptures came to mind that will lead to 2 Timothy 1:7. And it was the Isaiah 43, verse 1. Does anyone actually, anyone want to, yeah, let's do that. Let's share. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Anyone would like to read that? It's a really, really, I came across it this week and I had lots of confirmation because a lot of other people started talking about it and I started listening. Who's there? We should play the sword game.
Okay, so Isaiah 43 verse 1.
Yeah.
But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine.
There's so much in that. I love that scripture. I only just really discovered it deeply this week. He says, fear not. And he says, but I like that he says, I created you, Jacob. And Jacob and Israel are the same two people, but I formed you, Israel. So that, to me, says that in the journey of our lifetime as humans, he's redeemed us, he transforms us, and he tells us to not fear. And then he says right at the end, you are mine. And it just made me think, we serve a very jealous God. He's so jealous for us, and not in a bad way, but in the sense of a groom after his bride. And he comes after us like nobody's business. He came all the way from heaven above in flesh and form to redeem us. But fear not, you are mine. And I started to think of then leading to John 10:10. I can't remember the verse, but I think I'll be paraphrasing when he says, the sheep hear my voice, and then he goes on to say that nothing can snatch you out of the palm of my hand. No one shall perish. I don't know if anyone, it's John 10:10. I think it's later on in verse 10 onwards. Yeah. And it goes on to say that it made me think about how if we're in the palm of his hand and nothing can snatch us out of us, out of his hand. And I think the word perish comes in. Fear not, for you are mine. Nothing can snatch you out of my hand. And already I start to feel more comforted. But it goes deeper. That's talking still very much in our circumstance, isn't it? Yes, we know the Lord. Yes, he's there. He redeemed us. So what is the key? What is the name that I was saying that will get us out of that Umdangada fight, flight or freeze mode back into our frontal place that makes us focus on the Lord? And it made me then lead on to Timothy 1:7. Someone would like to read it. Someone like to read 2 Timothy 1:7.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because I hear sound mind, but self-discipline is just as good. I love it. So when I thought about that, and I started reading, and actually in context, it's Paul talking to Timothy, and he goes on from there to say, don't be ashamed of the gospel. So, are we still with me? It sounds a bit like jumping around, but for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So hang on a second, spirit of fear. That means what has replaced it? We go back to where we studied a few months ago in John, that the helper came, the teacher, the guide, the Holy Spirit. Now this is the same spirit that Jesus had on this earth, the same spirit that dwells with God in the Trinity. Not a spirit of fear, which then makes us realize there is such a thing. You know, there is such a thing as spirit of fear, whether, you know, different people's opinions of whether that is a spirit of actual spirit of fear or just a simple feeling of emotion of fear. Either way, fear is present. But a spirit that isn't of him, that is of power and of love and of sound mind or self-discipline. And it made me think then, as I was dwelling on this and I was meditating on this, about the fight, flight and freeze. So you're in a fight, a confrontation. We go with not the spirit of our own strength and circumstances of fear, but of the power, spirit of God's power. And actually, the vessel that we don't do it, but he does it. He actually done it, really, on the cross. The power of the cross overcomes all of that. So, the name of Jesus and what he did on the cross. Then we got love. The greatest act of love ever made on the cross is what overcame all fear, death itself. And then love, a sound mind or discipline. And again, it's Jesus's like teachings, his example that gives us sound mind and discipline. Because what we could do is we could memorize, and I'm not against this, we should memorize all these scriptures that remind us not to be fearful and that. But actually, the core root of it is deeper than that. Jesus overcame it because he lived it. So when we're in that place of fight, flight or freeze, we replace it with God's power. And of love and a sound mind. Fight, use the power of God. Flight, where can you go that God's love can't reach you? Where can you run to, David says. Where can I run, O Lord, from you? And then freeze, when we're in that frozen moment, our brain is not kicked in. His sound teaching, his sound mind that gives us. And it reminds me of that man at the cave who used to hurt himself. And it says that when... Hello, lovely doggy.
You've got a little doggy.
Hello, it's all right. You're so welcome to join if you want. Yeah, and it reminded me of this that last bit of sound mind of the man in the cave at the shore who was chained and cut himself. And he says that when Jesus expelled the demons from him, he was of sound mind. And it just made me think, wait a second, so we could sit frozen in our fear and then use our own strength and circumstances to overcome it. Or do we just sit and go, Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you that you overcome fear at the cross. God never said that fear and sin and all those things would be away from the presence of this world. That's when the new heaven and new earth come. But he did say he'll be with us in it. He'll be with us in our circumstances of fear. So I just wanted to encourage everyone, because I've likened this next season of coming out of COVID like an earthquake rubble spiritually and mentally. We all come out of our doors and we've seen rocks and timber and things that have to be overturned and people that have been hurt. And it can be really fearful, like mentally, physically, spiritually. So what guides us, what gets us back from that place of, like that place that is back here, that kind of tension of fight, flight or freeze, back into that place of power and of love and sound mind. And that was it. And I just thought, it sounds a bit like Christian 101 teaching, but actually I kind of think that's why God kept it simple. So in those moments when we don't know what to do, we go, Jesus, your power overcomes. Jesus, your love overcomes. Jesus, your sound mind and self-discipline of us overcomes. And not of our works, because that's the thing. We can overcome fear of our own works. And actually, that's completely not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus did it all for us. So that was my prayer, that as we move on, and I've been a typical actor and overgone by 5 minutes. I just want to encourage us, and just to finish off, to keep it in context of the actual book. He then goes, so don't be ashamed of the gospel. There's only another type of fear in the Bible, as I looked in the Bible and I looked at the word fear. And it's reverent fear. Reverent fear. So I was like, I don't want a fear of man, like it says in Galatians. I don't want to fear man. I want to fear God and revere him. And that's not to be running away, but as a father that is teaching me, disciplining me, because he's teaching me daily. So Lord, that was my prayer, was that help me to shift from my fear of my own circumstances, using, like, knowing that your power, love and sound mind overcome that, and actually go back to that place of focus on a king on heaven high that will help me, guide me through these times. That was my sharing. That was my thought.
Wow. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Sharing from your heart and the word and your experience.